Chapter 35. Joe, Skippy called me while I was in the freaking shower. Damn it, can't you see that I'm in the shower? No, you told me not to spy on people because they need privacy. He made a gagging sound. Also, Margaret is now living with you, and she certainly doesn't want me seeing her naked.
You got that right.
She lets you see her naked, so why would she?
I strongly advise you drop that subject.
Probably a good idea, he agreed. What do you want? I reached for the shampoo, but the shower stall was so filled with Margaret's stuff that I couldn't find anything of mine. A bar of soap was probably safe for me to use, so I rubbed it over my head.
Jennifer's birthday is coming up soon.
Yeah, her birthday is this Friday.
Technically, that is not correct.
Skippy, I shut off the water. I have her personnel file. Her birth date is listed. Have we been marking the wrong day all along?
I said this Friday is technically not her birthday. It is the correct calendar date. She simply will not be a year older on this Friday.
I was afraid to ask, fearing a nerdy trivia lesson. Is this a Zulu time thing?
The ship used Greenwich Mean Time, known in the military as Zulu time.
My guess was he meant she was born late at night in the western USA, which was already the next day in Greenwich.
No, it's a math thing.
Oh, crap. Are you going to smack some knowledge on me?
I'm going to smack you so hard it will hurt.
Do I have a choice?
It's cute when you say that. Listen, knucklehead, you monkeys mark birthdays as your pathetic homeworld completes another orbit around the sun, as if that is some sort of accomplishment. It's not like any of you has to push the planet. The thing moves on its own. Don't you get that?
It is kind of sad, I agreed, wanting to get the discussion over. If Skippy got wound up on a rant, he could go for hours.
Right?
For some reason I sure don't understand, you monkeys have a New Year's celebration to mark Earth going around your star.
Whoop-de-frickin'-doo!
That should also mark a person being 1 year older, but that is not accurate in this case.
You're gonna have to explain that.
It's called time dilation. I calculated the cumulative effect of all the space travel Jennifer has done since Columbus Day, and she is actually 31 hours younger than she would have been if she had remained on Earth.
What?
Do you monkeys not learn anything in school? The faster you travel, the slower time moves. So Jennifer...
The ship doesn't move at relativistic speed, Skippy. We travel faster than light by jumping from one place to another without going through all the boring space in between. There is no time dilation effect.
Wow, get yourself a juice box for understanding that.
Yes, that is correct. There is no need for the ship to travel at high speed through normal space, so you have never moved at a significant percentage of light speed. But the crew of your ships, including you and Jennifer, have spent years traveling at speeds greater than experienced on the surface of Earth. And yes, I have adjusted for the fact that time moves at a different rate in a gravity well, like the surface of your homeworld. I also adjusted for when we went forward in time by 7 hours when we broke that wormhole. Plus, every time the ship jumps, we go slightly backward in time.
Huh. You sure about this math?
Duh.
I even included the time when she commanded her own ship.
Okay, that's impressive. 31 hours. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
So, should we celebrate her birthday on Sunday instead of Friday?
We should not. Skippy, it is just too complicated and confusing, and like you said, it really doesn't matter. We keep a standard schedule aboard the ship, even though Earth is the only planet we visit that has a 24-hour rotation.
True. Actually, every star-faring species marks time based on their homeworld. Even advanced species, who can adjust their biorhythms to match their environment, measure standard time by the place where they are evolved. Everyone except the Theranin.
They don't?
They view such sentimental attachments as a weakness.
Well, of course they do. What a bunch of assholes.
That is the general consensus. Nobody likes those little green pinheads.
So, the party will be on Friday, then?
The party will not be Friday because there won't be a party. Sims hates when people make a fuss over her.
I'll ask Margaret what she thinks.
Hey, has time dilation affected me by the same amount?
Close. You have spent more time zipping around in dropships. Plus, you were on the surface of the high-gravity planet we call Jumbo, and you went forward in time when your DeLorean jumped out of Detroit. Your cumulative time difference is close to 34 hours.
That reminds me.
Of what? I should contact the admin people for the United States Army. You have been cumulatively overpaid by a full day. That is a serious violation. Please just shoot me now.
Sir? Smythe knocked on the doorframe of my office. Do you have a minute?
Sure.
I closed my laptop.
Come in, sit down.
It was a bit odd that he hadn't pinged me. He was not in the habit of wandering over to my office to utilize the open door policy.
What's up?
We still have no strategy for dealing with the elders. He said that as a statement, not a question. Either he had verified with Skippy that there still was no master plan, or the burden was on me to correct him.
Not yet, I admitted.
I am open to suggestions.
To show that I was actually open to hearing his ideas, I sat up straight in the chair with my forearms resting on the desk, not leaning forward toward him, just relaxed and alert. Also, I raised my eyebrows briefly in a go-ahead gesture.
The UN Navy had released a training deck for senior officers, and PowerPoint slides, of course, on the subject of body language. Human body language, to be clear, although I had found that most bipedal species were pretty similar. Whether the being is human, lizard, or hamster, arms folded across the chest indicates the other person is skeptical of your bullshit, or something like that. Anyway, I'd been studying body language as a refresher, and hoping that reading something unrelated to our current massive problem would spark a useful idea. So far, I had nothing. Though the ship was headed for Earth to deal with Roscoe falling out of the sky, we were not giving up on trying to stop the Elders from destroying all life in the galaxy. Skippy told me most of the crew had been bouncing ideas off him, and he'd passed the most interesting ones on for my review. Again, we didn't have any strategy that would actually do something useful and was also practical. To avoid duplicate efforts and hopefully spur the creativity of the crew, in the ship's morning status report I had been summarizing ideas that I received and rejected along with the reasons each plan wouldn't work. The notion that we should pray for deliverance, submitted by multiple people, got me to respond with a yes and, as in, yes, let's do that and let's have a backup plan. I read somewhere that the Lord helps those who help themselves, and I didn't want the Almighty to think we weren't putting enough effort into saving our own dumb asses.
I've been reading submissions from the suggestion box, Smythe said.
The what?
The strategy ideas from the crew.
Oh, yeah. There was not a physical box that people filled with ideas they'd written on pieces of paper. It was a digital file maintained by Skippy. 90% of the suggestions he received were variations on ideas we had already considered and discarded. Another 9% were original but unworkable or wouldn't achieve the objective. Too many of the plans from the crew were about hurting the elders in ways that weren't worth pursuing even if we could do some of the impractical things suggested. We couldn't settle for hurting the elders. We had to stop them. Anything less than total victory would be like holding up a middle finger while an asteroid fell on our heads. The gesture would feel like we were doing something while being useless.
You have been reading them for your amusement?
I find it educational, he replied with dry humor.
Is there anything you're concerned about?
Some of the suggestions were, let's use the word, interesting, to be polite. Not interesting as in somebody needs an immediate psych eval, more like, wow, monkey brains can dream up some really weird stuff.
Sir, I believe we are thinking too small.
How's that?
We need to consider a first strike.
What do you mean by first strike?
We should consider attacking the elders directly, wiping them out before they can do the same to us.
That, pushing myself away from the desk, I leaned my chair back, is big.
How would we do that?
I asked, not because his idea had merit, but to give a respected professional soldier an opportunity to explain his thinking.
It is my understanding that the elders need the wormhole network and power sources like the sinks inside the Roach Motel Star to maintain their ascension. We could attack those power sources.
Wow. But any such attacks would have to be simultaneous across the galaxy. That would be extremely tricky logistics.
It would require Skippy to instruct wormhole networks to shut down at a particular time. We could then attack the power sinks with Elder weapons, timing our strike to match the shutdown of the wormholes.
Okay. Okay, very ambitious. I nodded.
How could I tell Smythe that the probability field would never allow us to destroy the power feed the Elders relied on without telling him about that feature of the energy barrier? Skippy was correct that knowledge of how reality works is too dangerous for meat sacks. Too ambitious, I'm afraid. Skippy believes the Elders have a sort of doomsday weapon, device, or capability. They could deploy it if their existence was threatened. Bloody hell. The color drained from his face. When was the beer can intending to inform us of this development? That's my bad. He mentioned it recently. The subject came up as part of another discussion. Whatever we do, we can only act against individuals or small groups of elders. That restricts our options. He suggested the elders might initially conduct a recon with a few individuals. That is bloody useless to us.
Hey!
Skippy's avatar appeared. Don't shoot the messenger. Besides, why isn't it useful to prevent a recon group from reporting what they find if we can? Think about it, Skippy. Smythe, what would you do if your recon squad disappeared? I would conduct a follow-up reconnaissance in force, the Star Commander answered. Skippy tilted his head. How much force would you bring? Smythe leaned forward, looming over the hologram. Enough to crush anything I might find. Shit, Skippy groaned. Skippy's avatar faded out, and I talked about a few other ideas with Smythe, but I could see that he wasn't focused. A doomsday weapon, sir? Something like that. Skippy thinks there is a threshold we can't cross. Where is the line? I don't know. Skippy doesn't know either. We have to be careful. We already disabled their entire security apparatus, he reminded me. All of their AIs dead, their sentinels disabled, starships rendered useless. He thought for a moment, considering the situation. If that didn't cross the line... He didn't finish the thought. Nothing we did harmed the elders directly. He raised an eyebrow. Sir? The purpose of their AIs and sentinels is to make sure the power flow is not interrupted. We haven't done that. Yet. Whatever we do, we can't affect that power flow. There isn't really any difference, is there? Whether the elders activate a doomsday weapon or not, they will destroy us. The difference is as long as we don't cross that line, we have at least some chance to get out of this mess. His reply was only a curt nod, but I got the message. We didn't have a way out of the mess, and he had a bias for action. Meaning, if we were all going to die anyway, Jeremy Smythe would be in favor of hitting the elders as hard as we could. He was not going quietly into that good night. I was beginning to think he was right about that.